Good afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy. Perhaps you were among the thousands who trekked down the hill at Point Warrensoff in the winter of 2015 when 85 human figures stood on the beach as if about to walk into the waters of Cook Inlet. Wind and waves weathered and even unseated these humble and evocative human forms. But amazingly, after a vigorous reinstall, the works persisted, if changed, into the spring. This massive public art installation spoke to shared human frailty and pain. It was personal for its creator, Sarah Davies, and for the more than 600 volunteers across the state who made some 30 safe spaces to talk about their humanity and to cast physical selves into statue and sculpture. Today, in conversation with Sarah and leaders in the Alaska Humanities Forum, we'll learn the plans for the next phase of this advocacy, now guided and nurtured by the Alaska Humanities Forum. So first off, I would just like to welcome our guests to today's show. And first, Sarah Davies, an artist.
Hi, Kathleen.
I know you say, I don't think of myself as an artist, but I'm going to call you an artist. The creator of 100 Stone.
Yeah.
With many, many collaborators, but you were at the start of it. I also have Megan Zlatos, who's with the Alaska Humanities Forum, the Director of Grants and Special Projects.
Thanks for having me.
And I told her that anybody who has special projects in their title has a good job. And then we also have Cameron Perez-Verdia. He's the Director and the CEO at Alaska Humanities Forum.
Great to be here.
So welcome to you all, and this is going to be a great conversation. I want to let our listeners know that on today's show, because of a scheduling conflict, we won't be taking calls. However, throughout the hour and on our website, alaskapublic.org, we'll share links to learn more about 100 Stone and its history, but also to how to participate in the next phase of this work. So that's at alaskapublic.org. All right, so let's get started. My first thought was, there is news here. 100 Stone has been in our ecosystem for a while, but there's a new development. And I think that's the most important thing to get out there for people. I don't know who wants to jump in, but there's a new evolution, a new phase. You're partnering, or even Humanities Forum is actually kind of taking over. How would you like to describe what's coming next?
Well, 100 Stone has evolved into a new world of living. So much happened with 100 Stone that revealed to me what creative resources actually are in our statewide community. And with this next phase of the project, which is sort of, well, a year ago, I would have called it a pay it forward initiative, because I was just so flooded with gratitude over what happened with 100 Stone, what it gave to me personally, and what I believe it gave to our community. But now it's definitely become a reinvestment initiative in our statewide community, in its creative resources as they were revealed to me with the project, and with, a sort of reillumination of how we can invest in our creative resources that isn't matrix driven, that isn't outcomes driven, that isn't confined by funding responsibilities. What we've done with 100 Stone is we've put the statues up for sale and sponsorship with the blessing of the makers and the models, and so that those dollars can be rechanneled into new projects, new creative advocacy projects, because of just how valuable 100 Stone was to our community. I want to make sure that momentum is transformed. And so it's transformed into a new project called Human Ties. And that project now lives at the Alaska Humanities Forum. And we are ready to pay forward a little bit of what we were able to gather with that sale and sponsorship initiative, and with matching funds from the Humanities Forum.
Okay. And so I know people might be saying, oh, wait, 100 Stone, what was that? We'll tell them a little bit more about sort of the backstory of 100 Stone, remind folks. And there was a lot of coverage, and on our website we put a link to the media page. A lot of it was very personal and moving. It evoked something in the audience that was powerful. But the news is that there's something coming after 100 Stone,
it's
Human Ties. So that's the part that the Alaska Humanities Forum is actually stepping for. Okay, so Megan, tell us a little bit about what Human Ties means.
Well, Human Ties is a big initiative that's going to be starting with the funds that Sarah just talked about and introduced. And so
which is the sale?
Right, exactly. And so it's going to be rechanneled into a grant that will go to a new artist. And I think that, you know, you mentioned that Sarah doesn't like to call herself an artist, and we're taking a similarly broad definition of artist. We hope that even those people who may not self-define as artist,
capital A,
yeah, who may feel like, well, I don't have a portfolio, or I don't make a living off my art, or I wasn't formally trained, that they'll still consider themselves.
I've never had a show in a gallery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not so much about that kind of artistic experience as it is a creative vision for how to bring community together. Yeah. I think what inspired us about Sarah's project in 100 Stone was the way that it was exploring isolation, but the process of art creation brought together community. And it was a force for combating that isolation just through the creation of the art itself. Mm-hmm. Similarly, we'd like to fund a project that looks to combat isolation, and we're specifically looking at homelessness to kind of define it even more.
Okay.
Specifically, and in the future that, it could be in future years that we take a different tact with
right.
that. But for this particular project, we're looking at homelessness, and we want to fund a project that similarly is as much or even more about the process of creation and community building as it is about the product that comes out of it.
So participation.
Yeah, and conversation.
Much like in 100 Stone, people step forward and were cast, right?
Yeah.
And told stories in the process of that.
No one can feel isolated when they're in physical contact with another
person. Right, when
person.
Someone's touching you. So I guess one question I have is, could this be written? Could this be film? Could this be poetry?
Absolutely.
As long as it has these voices
we are very open to the format. I mean, it could be something permanent, it could be something ephemeral, it could be it could be written, it could be performative. Mm-hmm. We want to be open to whatever creative vision people have for building community through something that is not merely intellectualizing or something like that, but mm-hmm. but really creative and mm-hmm. artistic.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever form that takes, we're open.
And, well, it's it's very broad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I imagine you might say to a potential applicant some of the elements that were part of Sarah's 100 Stone, this idea that 600 people across the state, also that it was across the state, as opposed to, say, an urban story. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'm miss... thinking...
I mean, I think that we're a statewide organization, and so we're open to statewide projects, but we're welcoming proposals that target a specific community or something that goes statewide.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't want to limit it. We want to see what visions mm-hmm. we receive from mm-hmm. From the people that are proposing. I think that one of the things that we do really care about is that it be Alaskan, mm-hmm. That it take place in Alaska, and that it be somebody who is rooted in Alaska mm-hmm. That is leading the project. And so that is one of the important specifications. I think that another piece of it is that whatever the final product is, whether it's a performance or something like Sarah's that is more concrete, that you can actually touch, we want that to be somehow open to the public and in Alaska. So 100 Stone came from all across the state and was ultimately installed in Point Warrensoff and then on the APU campus as well. The project could come from multiple communities and then be installed or performed in a single community, or it could be in multiple locations at once. We're, again, really open.
Right. Why homelessness? And I don't, it's not because I'm challenging you on that topic. I know it's, you can't walk or drive down a street in Anchorage and not be aware that there are people that don't have the basics. So what drove that as this year's project?
There are so many conversations in our community and our municipality and in statewide conversations about what do we do to make sure that the isolation that is experienced by so many of us and could be experienced by any one of us doesn't bring us into a world where we are just completely absent of home, food, service, and all of the erosive forces in one's identity when it comes to needing supports that the homeless population do. I feel like we chip at it little by little by little by little. And how far do we get? Some of us can't see how far we have actually gotten. But a lot of us, I think, it's easy to see that it's just such a big problem and it's so intimidating. And
right. Every time you hear of an initiative and yet the problem is, I'm not sure you can eradicate it, but it feels like we can't change what's happening.
Why does it feel like we're not getting anywhere? I think there is no one better than an artist or a team of artists to illuminate what exactly is beneath the surface of homelessness. Who exactly lives in that world, in that category that we call homeless, and how connected they actually are to our community, and how connected we actually are to them, each one of us. I feel like in conversations they're often an other. But they're us, and they could be us at any moment. And we need artists to illuminate the ties that are already there between us and them, because they are us.
Mm. And how did the Humanities Forum and 100 Stone, did you just go to the exhibit and get an idea, or did Sarah come to you and say, I want to find a way to pay it forward? How did we walk down the road to where we are now?
Well, I can speak to that just briefly. Sarah was looking for a way to, as she put it, pay it forward. And so I think she came to a number of organizations and eventually found us and came and we had a conversation about the work that she had done and the work she was doing, and that maybe we were an organization to help to make that happen. And we as an organization, and we'll talk about, you know, us a little bit later,
in your mission,
we generally are a pretty flexible and responsive sort of organization, and it was really exciting to think about how to take the energy and the passion and the excitement of this work and to channel it into something that could do more and to continue to connect Alaskans. And So that's how it started. It started with a conversation, and it's evolved to where we are now, and we're really excited about it.
Did you, either Megan or Cameron, did you go down to Point Warrensoff before you knew Sarah? Did you walk among those statues sort of as the uninitiated? No, you didn't.
No, the first time I heard about it right after it had been deinstalled and started reading and looking into it. I had a friend who had gone and visited and was just gushing about what a beautiful display it was. And I really regretted that I didn't find out about it until after the fact.
It was really amazing. I think I was able to go on December 5?
Was opening.
Or maybe the day before.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll never forget the feeling of walking among those shoulders and arms and heads and figures. And I don't know, it was very, very, just evocative and both sad and not sad. There was some sort of connection, you know, that happens when you see human figures, and you are a human figure, and and also I think that the positions that they took were very human, very expressive, and I don't know whether that was natural. I'm looking at Sarah here, or when you were doing the casting, and I know that there was even work at the Church of Love assembling, but I mean, did people take the position they wanted to take?
When they absolutely did. And sometimes they forgot and ended up just standing there, which was totally fine. You know, when you have, when you're getting really messy and you're completely covered suddenly in plaster, sometimes you forget what your motivation is.
Why did I say this was going to be a good idea? Right. For people who are just joining us, because I know folks join us throughout the hour, this is Hometown Alaska, and we are talking about the next step, or what's happening after 100 Stone, and it's an opportunity for artists with a small A, I guess you could say, or writers, or even theater, anyone, journalists even, I guess you could say, who see a way to somewhat mirror the way you reached out so broadly and had participation so broadly in delivering a view of humanity that captured something that's hard to capture. Pain is hard to capture, or isolation might be the word you would use.
Absolutely, isolation. And vulnerability is something that came up again and again and again during the project. When it was born in me, it was very much about me and my own experience. But then as I started to reach out into our community, I recognized that I needed their stories as much as they needed mine, so that I could learn about myself. I learn more about myself through other people's stories than I do about than through self-reflection.
How did that happen? I mean, can you think of an example?
Well, story sharing is, some people can find words that I just don't have access to, or some people have found, you know, certain developmental points in their world and in their life that I just couldn't put my, that I just can't put my finger on until they tell me their view of the world. And then I can put myself there and orient myself and wonder, you know, have I been here too? And start to either identify or differentiate or integrate. I think that, you know, it's a little bit hard to describe, but I can't know myself unless I know you or other people. And it's just, that's just one of the things that came to me through 100 Stone. So even though it started out as a project around mental health, it very much became a project around all of the vulnerable, to our environments, to each other, to ourselves. But one thing that was always clear is that isolation was definitely, for me and for so many of us who were involved in the project, a taproot of actualized suicide. And if we can't feel isolated because we are literally and physically surrounded by people who love us and who are aligned with us, then we are at less risk of actually achieving that. But this next phase isn't about that anymore. This is about a new world. This is a new world of vulnerability. This is we need a new artist or new artist group vision of what exactly the vulnerability of homelessness is, or what leads us to that condition. And I have no idea what that's going to look like, but I bounce all over. I bounce all over whenever I imagine, you know, all of the stories I'm going to be reading when we look at these applications, and all the different corners of our statewide community that it's going to come from. And I just can't wait.
There's a real timeline. Well, first of all, let folks know who's here in the studio. Sarah Davies, we've just been talking about 100 Stone. But from the Alaska Humanities Forum, we also have Megan Zlatos and Cameron Perez-Verdia. So we talked about how you got together, because I was really curious about that. And I want to assure people that there is an actual application process that's emerging. There's a timeline. We will be sure we have links on our website for people who want to find out more from the Humanities Forum and Human Ties, which is the new name, sort of the next chapter, the next evolution. And I guess, do you assume that you will be in this process through the summer evaluating? Do you have a sense of a deadline?
So the final deadline for the applications is at the end of August, mm-hmm. and we'll be reviewing them and making a decision in September, so that the person can, at the beginning of October, begin the process mm-hmm. of creating their art. Everything that Sarah just said, the thing that I love about what she expressed is the thread of learning, of approaching the whole process from at least a starting place of ignorance, of not knowing what's going to come out of it. And I think one of the important aspects of this application process is we want to understand the intention of the person and their overarching vision, but we recognize that whatever this next project is, it too will be dynamic and will change as the artist or the artist group actually digs into the work itself. Mm-hmm. Sarah's vision or Sarah's project changed dramatically from what she proposed to what actually came out of it. It mm-hmm. became bigger. It became more connected. And we want to create space for that kind of dynamism as well mm-hmm. For the next stage.
Let me ask this. There was fruit from your long effort mm-hmm. that is now sort of the funding base for going forward. When you think about this not being just a one-off, right, are you looking for a project where there might be ways of additional funding coming out of, you know, I don't know how to say yeah. that, but.
So let me talk a bit about that, because I want to go back quickly to the conversation that we had and why this connected so well to the Alaska Humanities Forum. Because, you know, the purpose of the Alaska Humanities Forum is really about strengthening communities through this kind of connection, through building opportunities for community to come together and to learn and to engage and to bridge differences and to really be in conversation and in relationship with each other. And so that's the core of why we exist. So this work really was so aligned with who we are and what
that,
we
yeah.
and what we do. Mm-hmm. And so as we think about this project, and the project will, I think, go into more, but it's more than just the grant. The grant is an opportunity for us to provide funding to someone or a group of people to be able to bring a project forward that will help us to bring community together and connect. There'll also be other components of it. We have a magazine that comes out three times a year. There will be an article in that magazine that is really a launching for a discussion. So it'll be on the same theme. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be holding a series of community events, conversations around these topics. We see human ties as an umbrella of a variety of different kinds of things that we'll do. Community events, grants, different types of projects that will evolve over time. And so there will certainly be an opportunity for us to go out and for us to ask people to support that in a variety of ways.
So human ties is bigger than just the next project. Is it sort of a theme for you?
Mm-hmm.
So that would encompass community events, yeah. outreach, information.
That's
it's not
right.
necessarily Absolutely. Trading 100 Stone for human ties as the next. In fact, someone could even have a different title to their project besides human ties.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that one of the things is that as we embark on this project, we're not an organization that has focused on homelessness before. And so we're just like the artist or artist group that's going to be proposing this project. We're also approaching this from the position of being learners. I think that the humanities is often positioned as this sort of academic perspective where you have experts that come down to people and explain things to them. And this is an opportunity for us not to come as experts, but to come as conveners who are bringing together people from diverse perspectives and opening up discussion. We're doing that through, actual article-based discussions that bring together multiple perspectives and then invite additional perspectives into the conversation. We're doing that through this artistic grant program that will hopefully bring together community and spark conversation both in the process of the art creation and then once the creation is shared with the public. And we'll be looking for other opportunities to build on the conversations that are growing.
And I feel like we're really hoping for the creative vision of whatever project is coming down the line, that will reveal features of this particular challenge that were completely invisible to us before. That's one of the really great things about art and creative and intellectual capacity. And that's really, for me, one of the things now that this Pay It Forward initiative has evolved into a real thing I am intentionally trying to do. That's one of the things with 100 Stone. It revealed to me all of the dimensions of vulnerability and all of the sort of personal and physical and emotional patterns in our statewide community that revealed that we are all so similar in being vulnerable. And there are, even though we're very different people, we all seem to experience the same sort of products of vulnerability. And without being able to bring together all of those people through this creative practice, I wouldn't have seen that. And now it's my job to describe those patterns that I've seen, which is a whole separate thing. But that's really what I want to happen in the world of homeless initiatives. There are things that we can't see that are preventing us from being able to have a really potent and powerful and sustainable impact on the vulnerability of homelessness. And we need artists to show us that. That's what they're best at.
Well, we need to take a tiny break here. You're listening to Hometown Alaska, and I'm Kathleen McCoy. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. The topic today is 100 Stone, but what is coming after 100 Stone? There's been a linkage or a joining or a collaboration between artist Sarah Davies and the Alaska Humanities Forum to fund a new project. The initiative is titled Human Ties, and we have Sarah Davies in the studio with us and Megan Slatos and Cameron Perez-Verdia here from the Alaska Humanities Forum to kind of, basically flesh out what that idea is. And the thing that has come to me so much is things happened organically with you, and it's almost like the Humanities Forum saw that and said, well, let's take that. The connections, the opportunity to have community forums, to write about this, in other words, to focus and elevate the discussion, which was sort of happening organically with you. I mean, you describe how it was all about you in the beginning, but it became so much more about you and everyone, all of us. You know, the sort of vulnerabilities that we have. I sort of wanted to invite you, Sarah, to talk just a little bit about some of the discovery. Discovery is another word that came up in the first part. The Humanities Forum is willing to discover how best to go about this topic. The next topic is homelessness, but in any form, I mean, in any undefined way, any artist, any performer, any is invited to put forth a proposal. So there's a lot that was learned from 100 Stone, and I thought we would benefit a little bit from having you talk a little bit about maybe the evolution of it. Things I thought about was making safe spaces for people, yeah. Where those kind of conversations can emerge. I don't know whether you sort of knew, oh, I know what I need to do. I need to, you know, I need to drive to Fairbanks and I need to, you know, find someone who's got a garage. So, you know, how did you go about
it? I certainly didn't know that when I put in the proposal.
Uh-huh.
When I put in the proposal, it was just a description of a vision that I had in my head of the landscape that I was living in as someone who experienced isolation as a result of struggles with mental health. A place that I had just emerged from because of the benefit of a genomic approach to treating my personal health, my physical health, which had benefits on my mental health. But when I wrote the proposal, I had no idea what it was going to become. And if someone told me what 100 Stone was going to become when I was proposing it, I would have said, well, I could never make anything. That's
Forget
too big.
It. Yeah. That's not what I was thinking at all. Yeah.
And I think, fortunately, I didn't see what the natural next step was until it was time to take it. And then just by that limited vision that I had of how to unfold the actual project, I was able to just see a little bit of the rest of the world that was to become 100 Stone. And so I didn't feel too intimidated. It was always easy to take the next step.
Really? Wow. That's encouraging to hear. I mean, it sounds scary.
Right.
I mean, what 100 Stone accomplished was very physical, visible, right. Touchable, tactable, you know. In more than one location, all of this. So people might be thinking, oh, I've got to do something like 100 Stone.
No, gosh,
yeah.
Yeah. No.
And you didn't even know it when you set out.
No, gosh, no.
What? And it was 2014 was when you were beginning?
2014 is when I proposed the project, and that summer was when we started casting.
Uh-huh.
But what I could see from the very beginning was that a sanctuary would need to be built in order for stories to be told. And actually, I also knew that stories should not be told in words, because in the world of mental health, sometimes the words can be re-traumatizing. And sometimes the words are just so hard to find and extremely painful. And for those of us who experience really profound isolation for whatever reason, under whatever circumstances, our body carries that mark as much as our minds do. And so I invited people. I built a sanctuary by inviting people to not talk, just be, and we will capture their story with their body. They will share their story through their body. And that was, I think, going back to an earlier part of this conversation, what you felt when you were walking through mm-hmm. the statues as they were installed, because each of those statues had a person inside them. At one point, the actual mold itself became the statue. But one thing that happened that people couldn't see when they were walking through the statues was when that mold was removed from the person, there was this really intensely pregnant moment where you could almost see them, when they see themselves for the first time, deposit their story inside the statue. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they felt so alive, because their stories intangibly were actually living inside the statue. And it was a rebirth in a lot of way. It was an unburdening in a lot of way. And I knew that nothing like that would happen if they didn't feel safe, if they weren't invited to not speak.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
I wondered, you know, I always like stories, but yours was a nonverbal story for
yeah.
the most, you know, many people were, and I'm trying to picture that, like when you bring someone in and you, how do you, there are words in the beginning, perhaps, maybe it's just how to position yourself or, you know, but what were the steps leading up to the actual casting?
usually if they made it to a casting session, they knew very well what the project was about. The purpose of the project is what was attractive to people who resonated with the idea of expressing one's vulnerability, one's story in this really safe way. And I, one thing that also wasn't clear to me in the beginning that came clear was that I needed to expand beyond the people who experience it themselves and invite their families and caretakers and the people who provide services and all of the people involved, because they are just as much a part of that safety net. They are very much the safety net for the people who are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And it also made it an even safer space. So if you did come forward, you weren't revealing yourself as a vulnerable person or someone who experienced, you know, thoughts of suicide or struggles of mental or trauma, rape, abuse, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. You could be any one of the people who also knew and loved those people. And most of us are all of the, so many of us are all of the above.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You know, this is just a question. How did it change you?
I think when we understand ourselves better, I find more comfort in my own skin. And I think when I understand myself better, there are fewer challenges around how I feel in whatever circumstances and who I am in whatever circumstances. I can find ways to integrate into. Oh, gosh, that's such a hard question.
It is a hard question. Even when I was asking it, I was thinking, oh, this is hard. Because it went on for years, and it evolved.
It
so you probably had many learnings. There wasn't just one aha moment when, oh, I realize now what something is about. It's probably you were growing through the whole time.
I sure was. And I'm still thinking about how to answer that question. And I find my brain going into a sort of biological world, which I think I'll spare you guys from. But
okay. All right.
But what was absolutely clear to me was that we hide these things sometimes about ourselves, about vulnerability. But when we reveal those things, and I always get a little emotional when I think about this, it's we let each other see us and understand us and relate to us in more authentic ways. And when we can be more human, I feel like we are able to human other people, and people find themselves more human and
splash a little human on them.
You know? And then that is enriching.
Yeah. I mean, I think the idea of vulnerability is really double-edged. I mean, you have it to protect yourself, but only when you reveal yourself do you connect.
And it's so powerful when it's revealed.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If you're just joining us, I just want you to know what we're talking about, because that was a deep and personal description by the artist Sarah Davies about working on 100 Stone. So we're talking about 100 Stone, but also the evolution of it into another project, another opportunity that the Humanities Forum and Sarah have combined forces on, using some of the funding from the sale of some of the statues from 100 Stone. But also, I learned that the Humanities Forum is envisioning this almost as a movement, I guess you could say, human ties that goes beyond another art project, but maybe the sort of active community engagement on a topic that is with us in our community. The topic that the Humanities Forum, and I don't know whether Sarah was part of that or it was joint, is homelessness. And I thought we might talk a little bit about Not that this is prescriptive for an application at all, but just that the broad way you're thinking about homelessness, because I'm impressed with both Megan and Cameron talking about the openness, the discovery, the understanding of this, if you want to call it a problem or an element in our community. So let's talk a little bit about the reason I want to talk about this is because I started to think about villages that are eroding because of climate change and people are losing their homes there.
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
That's not the same as the services that we might see in an urban community at Brother Francis Shelter, but it might be very different. It could also be losing the planet Earth, you know, losing our collective home. I mean,
sure,
so I am only throwing these out. Is are you entertaining ideas that broad, or are you really thinking you want to see the face of homelessness? Or, you know, I know you're saying you're very open.
Yeah. Well, let me speak. I think one of the challenges with homelessness is the word homeless. Mm. And because it's associated in people's minds with certain things. And so I think you've heard that we're exploring vulnerability, we're exploring isolation, and knowing that the world of homelessness is where we see isolation and vulnerability and people who are struggling in a variety of ways for a variety of reasons. And so I think one of the things to be cautious of is to not get too caught up in the word homeless.
Yeah, that's
and
probably
to,
smart.
And to realize the intent of what we're trying to do and to think about it from that mm-hmm. perspective mm-hmm. And to think even more about human ties, you know, those connections, those realities that Alaskans face who are most vulnerable, who are most in need, who are struggling for, mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons. That's what we're trying to explore. And that can look very different depending on where you sit and who you are and where you live.
Right.
Right.
I'm trying to think of what else we should talk about. I'm kind of open.
Just to build off
yes,
of what
Megan.
Cameron was just saying, I think that one of the really important aspects of our approach is when we talk about bringing people together and connecting them through conversation and discussion, I think, and bringing together really varied perspectives, I think too often lately we've been confusing discussion and debate. And I think that one of the things that we'd like to do is create a space for people to start from a place of looking to understand very different perspectives, very different points of views, things that they may never agree with, but they're not seeking to change anybody's mind. They're not seeking to find a place of agreement, but they're looking to understand one another just a little bit better. And when we're talking about the issue of homelessness, whether you're talking about people who are displaced for environmental, economic reasons, or you're talking about somebody who has an uncertainty about where they're going to be next week, you have a lot of different perspectives about how much we can give, how much we owe, who's responsible, all sorts of different questions like that. And just as Sarah created these safe spaces for people to explore vulnerability, I think we'd like people to have a safe space to explore really different ideas about those questions too. And
it's almost like we've lost the safe space of civic discourse.
Well, yeah, that's a big piece of what we're trying to do. We're trying to create some more of those spaces. I was just talking with Lisa, the executive director over at Beans Cafe, and she was speaking to me about this topic, and there are many people that she works with that don't consider themselves homeless.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily how they would characterize themselves at all. Mm-hmm. So there are so many different perspectives here, and I think that the one thing to continue to think about and that we are trying to ultimately create conversation, create learning, and so human ties is really about creating opportunities to express, to connect, and to learn. And so what I'm really excited about is this idea that this grant project will in some ways inform us. and give us more information and more insight. But at the bottom, of it, we, you know, the Humanities Forum does these things. We have a magazine, we make films, we hold public events, we do grants. This is sort of the mechanism that we have. And so taking a theme like this and putting it through the different mediums and the different things that we have is a very normal process for us. This particular topic is exciting because it is so open and it is so different. Mm-hmm. And I know that lots of organizations are exploring the topic of homelessness, and we hope to build on what others are doing. But I think what we're really hoping is that we see some really creative viewpoints and things emerge that allow us to bridge in some ways, to bridge mm-hmm. Two people who have very different perspectives and maybe being able to see the world through someone else's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things I think we're hoping to come out of this.
A couple things come to my mind. It's very easy to other, if you think there's something different over there, you other it. Mm-hmm. And instead of seeing your similarities with that person, you somehow the different. And it feels defensive. It feels like a vulnerability, like maybe even a fear that, but for the grace of God, that could be me. So that person must have made a mistake.
Or,
you know, it's there. I'm thinking about some letters to the editor I just read the other day where it was about healthcare and saying that people who have not taken care of themselves are unhealthy and therefore we shouldn't be helping. They made a choice a long time ago. And then, of course, the letters came back talking about how often our health is impacted by not our own behavior, but by our genes or environmental, you know. So, I mean...
Well, it's so important now to have those dialogues and have those conversations.
Right.
The article that we're going to do in the magazine hopefully will capture some of that. But I want to know what business owners experience with homelessness. I want to know what families with small children who are feeling like their community may be in some ways less safe. I want to hear from... homeless people themselves and what their experience is. Mm-hmm. I want to hear from social workers who are so connected and so aligned with what's going on with people mm-hmm. who experience this, and to be able to create space for some of these conversations to happen, mm-hmm. I think is really, really important, especially in our world today, where it seems like that these conversations just need to happen. We need to be able to connect with people that have a very different view of the world than we do.
Mm-hmm. Now, has that idea of civic dialogue been part of the Humanities Forum mission from
forever? That is the foundational sort of purpose of our organization.
And it seems as if we're in a particularly difficult, you know, from your perspective, why?
Absolutely.
How did we get there? What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure it's so. I mean, I think that people will feel differently depending on where you sit. I'm not sure it's so different now. I do think, and this is probably obvious, but I do think that more and more we're connected to people that feel similar that we do, and we listen to things that are reinforcing the views that we already have, and it makes it harder and harder to even hear other views. And so it's more important now that there are those safe spaces where people can come and they can discuss and they can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of our world, I think, is becoming separated, and we're living in a world that is in agreement with how we feel and think.
Right. It's almost learning how to be curious.
Absolutely.
To be curious about, like you were saying, Megan, like to fully understand that person's perspective. So it's a lot about asking them to flesh it out for you as opposed to stopping them and cutting it off or finding a counterargument. It's almost letting them have the space to fully say how they see things.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a lot of different ways that people talk about safe spaces. Sometimes safe spaces are spaces where you feel like you're surrounded by people that are like-minded and
that
you're
feels
not,
safe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that feels safe and that you're not going to be challenged. And that's not what we're looking to do. That doesn't mean that we don't deny that there's, it doesn't mean that we think that there's no place for that too. I do think coming from that position of curiosity, of just trying to figure out what's in that person's mind that you may never, ever agree with, mm-hmm. but that you might be able to see, you know, a little bit more human in them mm-hmm. If you just keep digging a little bit deeper, a little bit deeper. Most people's perspectives come from their lived experiences, and those lived experiences, those stories, can be very powerful means of connection and seeing them in a new way.
Right, and authentic. I mean, even if you don't agree with that viewpoint, the experiences that person had are authentic to them.
Well, and so the I often say this because I think it's important, and Megan mentioned this earlier about the word humanities, and I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about that word. From our perspective, from the Alaska Humanities Forum, the humanities are essentially stories. They are the stories of human lives. They're the stories of our past. They're the stories of people today. They're the stories of all of us. And they're told in many forms, through literature, through film, through forms of art, through song, through all kinds of different ways. Those are the stories. And so what we do at the Alaska Humanities Forum is we use those stories in these public forums, in these gatherings, and we use them to connect and to help people to learn and to engage in lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's so important about creating a safe space, is that I've been working in bringing community together in lots of ways for a long, long time. But I found that when you use these stories, when you use artistic expression, it creates a different environment and allows people to engage and to learn with each other that is very different than just being there. Mm-hmm. And so it's a wonderful catalyst for this kind of connection and communication.
Mm. So we have a couple minutes left, and I thought we should get a little concrete for people who've been listening to the show and thinking about homelessness and thinking about, do I have an idea? Let's tell them a little bit about maybe the process and how you envision it moving forward. And maybe, Megan, you can start us off
on that. Yeah, sure. So by the time this is airing, the grant application will be open on our website, which is akhf.org. AK is in Alaska, H is in humanities, F is in forum.org. And it's a $10,000 grant. The final application due date is at the end of August, and people will know by September whether or not they receive it. Online, there's information about the criteria that we're using to select the grant recipient. I think that the eligibility is very, very open. Like I said, you don't have to self-define as artist in order to be eligible. We'll consider you an artist if you just bring a creative vision to the table. We also are looking for, ways that we can support people through this learning process. So we don't imagine that proposals will be fully fleshed out. It will be a broad vision that will become more specific over time. Unlike the majority of our grants, we're not expecting people to apply with a budget up front. We understand that the budget will evolve over time and that people will need to have the flexibility to just kind of figure out as they go, as they actually learn more through the process.
One of the things that's really important about our grant process is that there are places you would apply for a grant that you put in your application. It has to be finalized, and you don't have any communication until you figure out whether you get it or not. Ours is very different. We are very collaborative. We want people to call us. We want to have communication with them. We want to help them through the process. We want to make sure that their vision is articulated the way that they had hoped it would. And so our process is very supportive and collaborative.
Who's going to decide?
That's a great question. We're going to be putting together a committee of people who work with homelessness from a variety of perspectives. And then, Sarah and other people who take a more artistic perspective are going to be on the committee as well. There will be broad areas of criteria to think about, like, for instance, that community engagement piece of it. I think that somebody who has both a vision and, you know, an enthusiasm for community engagement is going to be a very important part of the decision.
Would you consider having a homeless person? That sounds so token on the deciding committee.
That's something that we're definitely looking into right now. Yeah.
It's hard to know how to go about doing that in a way that's meaningful. So I guess we just have just a little bit of time left. And I thought I'd just sort of go through each of you and let you leave our listeners with one thing. And so I'm looking at Sarah, putting you in the hot seat. What's one thing you would like to leave listeners with?
I want to leave them with comfort. As potential applicants for this particular grant, I want everyone to know that one of the stipulations when I approached the Humanities Forum with this idea was this grant has to be easy to apply for. It has to be easy and unintimidating and accessible. And I want to make sure that everyone can see themselves as a creative within the window, within the sort of context of this particular grant. So if you don't see yourself as an artist, but you have a creative vision and you see yourself as someone who is creative inside social practice, I want you to know that you're the person that we invite to apply for this first part of this investment in our creative community.
Okay. And how about you, Megan?
Similarly, I think that another source of potential discomfort is actually the openness of the grant, that it's so wide open that people may feel anxiety about whether or not they're actually within those wide open boundaries. And so I would just encourage people to reach out and to ask questions, to share their vision up front and say,
almost in a preliminary, almost in a like first draft.
Yeah.
In a way.
Absolutely.
To start the dialogue.
And you don't even have to have anything written. You can just have a phone conversation.
And how about you, Cameron? Anything?
Well, I'm really appreciative of this conversation. I really thank you and thank Sarah for having this conversation. I think it's really important. And I would just say I'm excited. I'm excited about to see where this is going. And I would encourage people. I would be remiss if I didn't say this to go onto our website. I think that you'll learn more about this project. You'll learn more about all the other work that we're doing. And I would encourage people to learn more about our organization.
Well, that's great. So the website, one more time, Megan.
It is akhf.org. AK as in Alaska, H as in humanities, F as in forum, akhf.org.
All right. That's the gate key to finding out more.
Yep.
So we are all out of time, but I want to thank you, Sarah Davies, creator of 100 Stone, Megan Zlatos, and Cameron Perez-Verdia, both from the Alaska Humanities Forum. I also need to let our listeners know that Hometown Alaska will be taking a one-month hiatus in July. Stay tuned for programming updates for this four-week window, but Charles Wolforth and I will be back in August to launch another season of community radio on Hometown Alaska. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Dave Waldron is our audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.